is America on the Road, winner of the International Auto Media Conference Gold Medal Award for Radio, and now in its 23rd year on the air. Thanks for being with us as we bring you the latest automotive information from around the world. America on the Road is brought to you by DrivingToday.com, Mercury Insurance, and the Coalition for Vehicle Choice. I'm Jack Nerad. With me is Chris Teague. Chris is in Maine. He's a Maine-based auto journalist who writes for DrivingToday.com and a number of other websites as well. And good to talk to you, Chris. How you doing?
You as well, Jack. We're doing well, surviving what week is this of lockdown we're all in. Who can tell anymore?
Yeah, I think it's different in different locales. It seems like we've been doing this forever, and there's much more forever to go. But I was going to ask you, how is mud season going?
It's actually been quite warm, so the mud has dried up for the most part. So I guess my statement last week is invalid. We spent most of the day outside today without any mud at all. So I'm very happy about that.
Yeah, that's terrific. In our road test segment today, we're going to be talking about the Subaru Legacy, new for 2020, and the 2020 F-350 heavy-duty pickup. Did that fit in your driveway?
Just barely. We had to make room by moving one of the other cars out, so quite a large truck.
It is indeed. Today, our special guest is Carl Widman. He is the Ford Performance Chief Engineer. He's going to be talking about the Shelby GT500. Just an amazing car, and we'll chat with him about that. He's quite proud of his handiwork there, and rightly so. Before we do any of that, though, let's talk about the news, and certainly the big news is what's going on in the auto industry vis-a-vis the coronavirus and COVID-19 and various lockdowns everywhere. What's the take on the East Coast about that, Chris?
Well, we're starting to see a lot of automakers offer a lot of incentives and programs. I've seen a couple of dealership groups that haven't been laying off employees, but are actually offering their own sort of incentives on top of that. Further down the East Coast, down near DC, there's a Ford dealership that's offering to pay 2 months of mortgage, rent, or lease payments on a home for anyone who buys a new Ford. That's on top of the already, you can call them, hot deals, if you want to, that Ford is offering on their vehicles. So starting to see some individual dealership groups heat up their sales tactics as well.
Right. I mean, the Ford Built-A-Lend-A-Hand program is absolutely amazing because they offer you essentially 6 months of leeway before you have to pay anything, which seems very appropriate for the times when so many people are thrown out of work or wondering if they're going to be thrown out of work if they haven't been yet. I mean, the way that works is Ford will pay the equivalent of 3 months' payments up front, and then the customers can defer their first payment for up to 3 months, so, you know, half a year. Hopefully in half a year, things will be more to normal. I don't know that we're going to achieve the normal that we had before this all hit, but that's what's been hoped for. General Motors is offering some amazing stuff, too. Defer the first payment up to 120 days. By my count, that's, 4 months?
Right, yeah.
So that's a lot. And it's on some pretty decent vehicles, like the vehicle we reviewed last week, the Chevrolet Silverado, Chevrolet Trax, the Bolt EV, interestingly enough, Buick Encore, Buick Envision, GMC Sierra. So it's not just the back of the lot kind of vehicles that are being offered. And you mentioned something that's really important. And, you know, hopefully with this just gigantic stimulus and recovery package that's been passed by Congress and signed into law, that a lot of these dealerships won't have to lay off people. Of course, most are operating their service departments anyway. Those are, in most cases, I think, deemed to be essential services, but we certainly don't want to see anybody lose their job over this, and millions have already.
Yeah, exactly. And so, the details of the stimulus evade me at the moment, but we're seeing Auto Nation is one of the largest dealership groups in the country, if not the largest, laid off thousands of people or at least furloughed them. So hopefully when the stimulus does actually land, they'll be able to kind of buoy their cash flow and get some people back on board, or at least bring them back more quickly than they would have before.
Right. Of course, a lot of factories are closed. Many North American factories are closed, There's some other incentives we should probably talk about. I mean, Honda is offering 90 days deferred payments till their first payment. Hyundai is guaranteeing 6 months, make up to 6 months of payment. It will make up 6 months of payments in its Hyundai Assurance Job Loss Protection Program if Hyundai owners lose their jobs to health issues during that time, if they purchase their car between now and actually between March 14th and April 30th. So, you know, the car companies are really responding to this, you know, somewhat out of fear and somewhat out of just self-preservation is what's going on here.
Right. Well, it can work both ways for them. So it's a sales tactic, obviously, but it's also a great PR move for them. So, you know, we're stepping in to help you. So some of them, you know, you mentioned Ford that will allow people to defer payments. And then once they get past that, some vehicles have loans for 84 months with 0%. So it's very, I mean, that's a great deal no matter where you go. Even though it's a 7-year loan, you're going to be paying for a long time. But
yeah, I mean, and you're wise to point that out, and I should have done that. There's a lot of 0% financing deals out there. Chrysler has them on virtually all their brands. General Motors has a lot of models are available with 0% financing. Volkswagen has talked about that a little bit. They're delaying first payment up to 180 days with 0% financing for up to 72 months. So the manufacturers are stepping up to the plate, and we'll just have to see how this unwinds.
Absolutely.
So next up, we should talk about vehicles that we have driven. So when we come back, we will be doing that. We'll be talking about the Subaru Legacy, all new for 2020, and the gigantic Ford F-350 heavy-duty pickup truck. So join us when we come back. Stay where you are, and we'll be right back right here on America on the Road. Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road. This is Jack Nerad with you, and along with me is Chris Teague. We're doing this cross-country. Talk about social distancing. We're certainly doing that. We're about, what do you think, like 2,500 miles apart or something like that as we're doing this, Chris?
Yeah, it's a solid few days' drive.
Yeah, absolutely. A nice drive, too. I've done that drive once or twice, and it seems long, but there's a lot of great country in between Maine and Southern California, where I am. Well, let's talk about the vehicle you drove most recently, the Ford F-350. Heavy-duty pickups seem to be gaining in popularity. Tell us about that one.
They are, and this one I think is probably close to the top of the heap, though. The new Ram 2500 and 3500s are very nice, but this one, I tested the Platinum model, so it's really the tale of two trucks, if you want to think about it that way. You know, there's very soft leather. It's got a panoramic sunroof, massaging seats, automatic running boards that lower when you open the door to step in. But on top of that, this is the single rear wheel truck. I had the 6.7 liter power stroke diesel. So it's got 1,050 pound-feet of torque, I think, is what the rating is, and it can pull up to 24,200 pounds. So you can haul an awful lot of stuff behind it while you're being massaged in a heated seat with a heated steering wheel. So it's really just, it's over the top in just about every way you could possibly imagine, and it's gigantic. But one thing I do like, and the F-150 also has this, at least for me, it feels like it shrinks around you when you're driving it. So there's no doubt that you're in a gigantic truck, but it doesn't actually feel that big when you're on the road, although other people definitely get out of the way. So I can see the appeal. It's far too much truck for me, for anything I would ever use it for, but there is a market for it in the $80,000 plus range pickup truck. And it's amazing that even before, you know, before everything crashed down with coronavirus, the sales were picking up. So definitely too much truck for me, but I can see the market for it, and it's absolutely comfortable for what it is.
Yeah, I think what you have there is essentially a luxury vehicle, right? I mean, it's something that luxury car buyers would buy. I mean, that's certainly a luxury style price. So it kind of makes sense that it would have all the amenities that you talk about.
It does. And, you know, the capabilities is impressive, to say the least. I think, you know, some of those numbers edge on commercial driver's license territory for some, in some ways. So I think that, you know, it'll take the special, it'll take the right type of buyer to actually use the capability. But for people who just want that, that presence and that comfort, that's there's, it's definitely there.
I've heard that a lot of people who are buying that vehicle tow, and it, really there's almost no reason to buy one unless you do tow. Does that make sense to you?
It does. You know, there's the bed, you know, there's really no reason to buy such a large pickup truck with that capability unless you're going to be hauling a lot. And one of the things I heard from a colleague of mine is that the ride of the truck is a little rough on the road because it is sprung for towing. But once you get it under load with a large, like a boat or a trailer, the ride really settles in and it's almost luxurious on the highway. So it's definitely better when it's pulling something behind it.
Absolutely. And you sure get attention when you're on the road with that thing. And people
many
get
waves from other pickup drivers, almost like the Jeep wave.
Yeah, there you go. You get people out of your way, too, and probably rightly so. Well, I was driving the 2020 Subaru Legacy. You know, the Subaru Legacy may be somewhat overlooked, depending on where you are in the country. I mean, Subaru is a brand that has pockets of just giant fans. I think New England is one of those pockets, by the way, and kind of upper Midwest and then the Rocky Mountain states also hotbeds for Subaru. Kind of makes sense because they're all-wheel drive and you're talking about snowy places. And then there's other areas where not so much, but it is a good choice, a midsize sedan in the same general category as, say, a Toyota Camry or a Honda Accord. Its basic claim to fame, of course, is its all-wheel drive, or that's certainly one of them. Subaru has also been really pushing the safety thing lately for the past several years. It's part of their kind of love campaign. I guess it's loving yourself and loving your family. They have what they call the EyeSight Assist Monitor that's standard. It gives you a head-up display on the windshield and gives you EyeSight warnings for all kinds of things that are going wrong or could go wrong. And it also has a driver distraction mitigation system. So it's picking out, it's spying on you, actually. It's seeing if you're distracted or if you're tired. And being tired is probably as bad as being distracted, by the way. And calls your attention to that. It gives you a little picture of a coffee cup, say, and tells you, hey, maybe you want to pull over and take a few winks of sleep or, you know, get a cup of coffee or do something like that. It is powered by a turbocharged boxer engine, at least our test vehicle was, that has 260 horsepower. And it's tied to a continuously variable transmission. What's your take on CVTs, Chris? I certainly have my own, but I'd like to hear yours.
I tend to think that they end up droning away. I find them to be more annoying than most other types of transmissions. Having driven several, I think Subaru does them almost as good as anybody else. You know, Nissan spent a lot of time and money in that, and they've gone all in on the CVT. But I would much prefer a traditional, you know, 6, 8, 10-speed automatic to a CVT.
That said, and I don't disagree with you at all, a lot of the CVTs these days actually feign having gear shifts, which has always struck me as really weird. And it has struck me as weird as long as there have been CVTs. And I remember Subaru CVTs very early on in my tenure in this business, you know, in the late 80s. You know, there was a lull when they just kind of went away from that, and now it's back. And their CVTs are with us. These continuously variable transmissions are with us because they offer better fuel economy, typically. And to your point, though, there are some strange things about them. The RPM range is supposed to be is supposed to keep them in the most efficient range most of the time, which can lead to some droning and some odd behavior. But otherwise, you know, this is a vehicle I liked a lot. Subarus also used to be not the greatest in terms of interior and in terms of infotainment systems and those kind of things. They seemed like you know, one generation back of the leaders in that area. This, though, the brand new Subaru Legacy that's built on the Subaru Global platform, a new platform for them, is so much better. I mean, it just looks better inside and it works better inside. It doesn't have tiny buttons on the infotainment system, for example. So there was a lot for me to like about it.
I agree. You know, I haven't driven the newest Legacy, but I did drive the Ascent just a couple of months ago. And the interior at the top level of that vehicle is head and shoulders above anything that Subaru put out, even just a couple of years ago or 4 or 5 years ago. My wife has a 2015 Subaru Outback in the top trim, and it's nice, but it doesn't match up with the newest one. So you're exactly right. They've come a long way.
Again, more safety stuff, key features like blind spot detection, lane change assist, rear cross traffic alert, which is particularly good in crowded parking lots. So it has a lot of that stuff. Dual zone climate control is very useful, especially if you, as you do, transport a lot of folks in the back seat all the time. I don't know whether that part of the car has to be that much different in temperature than the front half of the car. It reminds me of a time I was flying between Milan, I think, and Dubrovnik in Yugoslavia. It was Yugoslavia in those days anyway. And the airliner, the left half of the left side of the plane was smoking and the right half was non-smoking, which struck me as just crazy. Because there's no way to keep smoke going from one side to the other. And I always wonder about that with dual zone climate control, but people want it. And I think there's some value to it. So overall, I think the new Legacy is a very good value, something to look at, particularly if you live in areas with inclement weather, as you certainly do. And, even in Southern California, we've been getting our share of rain lately. And having all-wheel drive in that kind of situation, especially when you haven't had rain on the roads for maybe a month at a time, and they get very slick when the roads then get wet. So having all-wheel drive is a nice little safety and security advantage as well.
I agree. You know, we see a lot of Subarus. I think it's one of the best-selling vehicles here in New England, if not the best-selling vehicle here in New England. But it'll be interesting to see, Mac, the new Altima has all-wheel drive, and the new Camry will have all-wheel drive. So It'll be interesting to see the mix of those cars as they come up, because there hasn't been a lot of all-wheel drive sedans outside of luxury brands for a while. So I really like to see how many of the new Camrys and Altimas we see in comparison to the Legacy here.
Right, it will be interesting, and it'll also be interesting to see how many sedans are being sold. Post-coronavirus, I mean, is the trend going to continue and we're going to see nothing but SUVs, or, are we at a tipping point where maybe it changes back to sedans? Right? It's just too hard to tell, and it's very hard to tell what the auto industry is going to look like in 2, 3, 5 months. So we'll just have to see, and that'll make it interesting to do. So when we come back, we will be doing an interview with a guy who has a terrific job. His name is Carl Widman. He is the Ford Performance Chief Engineer and gets to play with cars like the Shelby GT500, and we'll be talking with him about that when we come back. So stay with us on America on the Road. This is Jack Neared along with Chris Teague. We are outside Las Vegas at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. We're having the time of our lives driving the all-new Shelby GT500. With me, Carl Widman, absolute expert on this vehicle, kind of the host of this party. Tell me what we're driving here.
What you're driving is the next incarnation of the GT500. It's built off the lineage of the most powerful, the pinnacle, the Ford performance lineup in sedan, and also the pinnacle of the Mustang lineup. So to deliver on that, my team goes all in. So it's a supercharged 5.2 V8, 760 horsepower.
Say that one more time. I just like hearing it.
Yeah, isn't it pretty amazing? 760 horsepower, 625 foot-pound of torque. And the torque comes to peak at only 4,500 RPM, which on public roads is more torque than is probably legal, I think.
Yeah. So, and at the same time, this is a pussycat to drive, if you want to drive it that way, on the street. I mean, it doesn't beat you up. There's nothing about it that is painful for you. You're not giving up anything.
Yeah, absolutely. And in a lot of the technology in the chassis and where we want to position the car is we still wanted a car that someone could drive comfortably to track, drive comfortably to a Mustang show. So with the MagnaRide technology, we're able to really track 1,000 times a second what you're doing with the car and basically give you a nice smooth ride if the steering wheel's straight or if you're pushing it hard and you have it in track mode. We'll give the ability for you to cut a corner at 150 miles an hour with all the grip in the tire and, you know, brakes.
Tell our listeners how it does that, you know, what happens within the system that enables that.
Right. So between the supercharged engine and the dual clutch transmission, they're all electrically controlled. And now with the dampers being electrically controlled and the steering gear, we're able to integrate all those signals to the acceleration in the car, the speed, the engine RPM, and actually pick the best way to transfer torque through the DCT because it can change where your torque is in gear in less than 80 milliseconds.
Yeah.
And that'll give you that torque consistency while you're driving it. And then the chassis can decide through a huge range of authority of how much damping to put into that car at the same time. So it's that systems integration that can create a smooth car on a freeway ride or one of the most aggressive lat Gs we have in any Mustang on the track while you're pushing it to its limit.
Give me a number.
Oh, a lat G, it's like, it's over one, either 1.1 or 1.2. So
yeah.
just amazing capability from the Michelin tires that we've got on it. And just amazing capability from the brakes. I think we can do it 0 to 100, 100 to 0 in like 10.6 seconds. If you think about that, that's about a distance of an aircraft carrier.
Yeah. I was going to use that aircraft carrier line, but you beat me to it. Good for you. That's great. I at least remember something from yesterday, don't I? When you have a car of this immense capability, obviously you got to think of who buys this?
So you know, every Mustang matches itself up with a Mustang enthusiast who has a certain Mustang fantasy, is the way I like to explain it. So we have 9 performance versions in 2020 model year, which is as good as the heydays of 69 and 70.
It's way better. I remember that. You don't. I remember those days.
And so from that perspective, each one will match up to that emotional state that the person identifies with. So you got a Bullet, which is obviously a lot more than just a V8 manual, right? It's got a lot of panache to it. You got a 350 that's, you know, that raw flat plane crank with a manual. And the way I look at this car, it is the pinnacle. It's, you know, approaching supercar capability from a DCT transmission to the Brembo brakes we have on it, to the MagnaRide technology, to if you order the carbon fiber track pack, it has a wing on it that's straight out of a race car that we run on a GT4. So it is a race-ready vehicle in that sense, but it also can tend to be a person who really wants to show off that is the ultimate aggressive look on the front end.
Let's talk about the dual clutch transmission. You know, the philosophy there, why you went that direction. Some people might be disappointed that there's no manual, traditional manual transmission. You got good reasons, but tell us what they are.
Yeah, so I think the big thing we want to do with the GT500 in this incarnation is it to be the best Mustang in the pinnacle. It had to beat a GT350R around the track, which is a very impressive vehicle. So to do that, we needed a transmission that could take all the torque of the supercharged motor that we have and do it quickly. So as you're going down a straightaway and going into a turn, it'll set the gear state for you before you realize you want to do it. In, you know, 120 to 80 milliseconds, it's making these decisions. And it does it in a smooth way, and so you won't disrupt the car as you're really putting the high lateral G's on the car, which is critical. And we learned a lot of that when we were working on the GT supercar, right? We run a DCT transaxle in that one, so we had a lot of experience with the development of that. And we partnered up with Tremec to do the design work on this. So it is totally new, totally unique, and totally matched to the 760 horsepower of the GT500. And what's great about it, it can be different transmissions in different ways with the way we've set up the electronic controls with the selectable drive modes. So you can leave it in normal and it's a nice shifting car. You can put it in sport and it's in a very aggressive, very fast shifting car, which is fun on the back roads. If you've got the ability to take it out to back roads that are rural, it's just a blast. And then we've got track mode that is set up. Basically, we had Billy Johnson, our pro driver, take the car out, use the manual shifting, and then our transmission calibrators spent thousands of miles basically getting the algorithms right. So when Billy went back out in auto mode, it was within a half a second on a four-mile track called Virginia International Speedway. So I think, you know, the DCT really brings it to life in a way that no other power transfer unit could have.
Well, it strikes me this car has immense computing power. There are so many driver assists, so many things that can make you into a better driver or assist you if you're not so great. And at the same time, it doesn't get in the way of the car and in the way of the driving. Talk a bit about that.
Yeah, so so Mustang is a car you can turn off all the systems if you choose. So you can basically turn off traction control, turn off interactive vehicle dynamics control. But the way we tune those systems, we work on the algorithms very closely with our professional drivers. And so when we tune them for track mode, we'll actually tune them in a way that you can pitch the car in and out. So we're very critical of the algorithm to guarantee that the front to rear braking still gives you that capability, that front capability to get into a turn and pitch it around. So we have the systems there in normal mode, and we'll progress them through the different modes to give you the ability to get the maximum out of the car without pulling torque. And even in like drag strip mode, we will take advantage of that, and line lock. We have all those other fun features that you can do to do a burnout or do a drag mode.
Yeah, yeah. Well, talk about that. Give our listeners more about that. I had the chance to do that a little earlier today, and it's a blast. You know,
So it's as a GT500, it needs to be true to its heritage of a straight line runner. And so what we're doing with the technology of the DCT, we can put it into drag strip mode, which is similar to what we've done on the automatic transmissions on the GT Mustangs. And what it'll do is it'll give you a full inertial shift, and so you can get your fastest times because you got all the spinning inertia of the transmission just pushing you through it, right? You felt that when you drove it, right?
Certainly, yeah, absolutely. It made it too easy in some ways. Not too easy, but it made it easier. I used to do the track testing for Motor Trend back in the day, like in the 80s. And, you know, you really had to know how to launch, and you had to experiment to launch properly with, all the analog stuff that we had. So it's a little bit different kind of experiences.
Yes, we had some people stop by yesterday. We're showing the journalists, and some people have never done a drag strip before, so we're showing how to do it, and they're shooting, 11.4s, 11.2s at the altitude we're at. And then we had someone come in and say, no, I don't need any of this stuff. I've drag raced and shot a 12.5, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean...
That sounds like me. Yeah, there's some of me in that. Let's, we've kind of glossed over the 760 horsepower thing. Talk a bit about that and talk about this engine.
Yeah, so if you look at the engine, we knew we wanted to make it a 5.2. So we started with the block of a GT350 because it's got a plasma welded bore. So we basically put a thin piece of metallic surface on the aluminum block. And we do that for heat transfer. So we get a tremendous amount of heat transfer through that. We get a little bit of displacement too, but it's mainly for heat transfer. So we started with that block. It ended up the cylinder pressures out of the Eaton 2.65 blower was too much for it. So we had to reinforce it, put longer head bolts into it, put a lot of ribbing on it, and we put that back into the GT350 for 19. And then after that, new CNC machined heads, new sodium filled valve train, higher spring rate springs, all new cranks, pistons. So to really have the ability to get the most out of the Eaton supercharger, and really drive. I mean, we're almost 150 horsepower per liter, somewhere around 145. And that's really what we're after, is really getting a real power dense motor that we can get the most for the package space and the most for the weight. Because really what we're doing is trying to keep the CG down and keep each right. piece of weight providing power. And if you look at what we've done with the supercharger, we've actually flipped it upside down. So the real heavy rotating compressor in there is actually lower. So the CG height of the mower is much lower than putting it on top. And we put the lightweight heat exchanger on top.
Yeah, and you've got a huge amount of airflow through the grill, through the hood. Talk about that. That's wild.
Right. So one of the key things for the GT500 to do what it does is we needed to basically get rid of over 200 kilowatts of energy. And so from that perspective, we've got 6 heat exchangers, double the front end opening of a GT350, 50% more air. But while we're doing all that, we needed to make sure the front lift was under control. So you'll see we have a 6-square-foot hood vent on this vehicle. It's probably the largest one we've ever done, largest that I've ever seen in my career. And it's set up that way to create a car that you can take it onto the track and really have that lift set up the way you want it. You can leave a rain tray in or out, and then working together with splitter wickers on the front, you can reset up that car for aero. So if you run a real fast track, you take it out and then get a lower lift in the front, and then you pair it up with the big carbon fiber wing, which gives you, you know, over 500 pounds of downforce in the rear, which makes it a very very planted, very balanced, engaging vehicle out on the track at high speed.
Yeah. What to you is the most impressive part of this car?
Yeah, I really don't divide the engine from the DCT transmission. They work together so seamlessly. I almost view them as a match pair. And I think they are the heart and soul of the GT500. And then the way it works together so smoothly on the road, and then the way it lifts the whole car on a drag strip, and then the subtle throttle you can get on a track, and it just always is responding, always linear, is what impresses me the most about this vehicle.
Yeah, it really is an amazing vehicle. It's an amazing vehicle that can turn right and left, not just go fast in a straight line, which is a major achievement, and you know, something maybe your competitors aren't doing quite as well. Carl Widman, thanks so much for being with us. We really
thanks,
appreciate
Jack.
It. Great to talk to you. Hope to do it again soon.
Absolutely.
And that's our interview with Carl Widman. He's the Ford Performance Chief Engineer, talking about the Shelby GT500. What a fun thing to play with. We appreciate that. And I appreciate Chris Teague co-hosting again this week. Thanks so much for being with us, Chris. I'm glad things are going well in Maine. We look forward to talking to you in the next show.
Thanks, Jack. I had a great time. I look forward to talking to you next week.
Yeah, and hopefully we can talk even when we're not on the air. That would be good, too. But certainly look forward to talking to you again next week. So thanks for being with us, everybody, on America on the Road, right here on Driving Today. I'm Jack Nierad.